90.3, this is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome to the Week in Review. Every Saturday at this time, I take a look back at the stories from the last 7 days or so that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else in the news this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in, or indeed that you may be involved with. I'll also feature stories about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield, and those local stories that affect you as well. Actually, if you have an item you'd like me to feature, you can contact me on the text line 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or on email, weekinreview@near.ie, all lowercase, all one word, weekinreview@near.ie. Now, coming up on the programme this week, in a few moments' time, I'm going to be talking to Sabrina Ryan. She's one of our own, so to speak. She's a Near FM volunteer and presenter, and today we're going to be chatting about a great idea at Gaeltacht College has come up with, where the students there, they translate current songs into Irish as part of their course over the summer. Now, I think this is a great idea, and when you hear it, I think you'll agree. And we'll be chatting about a few other things as well. But Sabrina and I, too, we'll be talking about how come we all learn Irish right through school, and at the end of it all, we only have a cúpla focal that actually remains with us. And then, a little bit later in the programme, I'll be chatting to Mary Hickey, who's the principal of Colaister Duilig, about what courses and places are available for the new term, and how to apply for them, and how to get involved with all of that. Now, I want to start this week by going back briefly to one of the stories I covered last week. You might remember we talked about the upcoming water charges we will all have to pay, and there was a suggestion from some quarters that maybe we would be paying estimates for a while until all the meters were installed in houses, and that didn't go down too well. Well, this week there's some better news has emerged on the water charges front. Apparently, each household paying the new water charge that are due to come in at the end of next year, or of course at the start of 2015, well, they'll have a free water allowance before we have to start paying. So much of your water that you use will be free, and then you'll begin to pay for it. And that was the commitment given by the Minister for Environment, Phil Hogan, TD, as he announced the establishment of 8 regional offices for Irish water all around the country. He said, "We intend that households will be provided with a free allowance, and that there will be specific supports for those with medical conditions that necessitate a high level of water usage. And also there'll be support," he said as well, "for those with affordability issues." And the agreed approach to those affordability issues will be reflected in the charging structure, which will be established by the regulator. And all of that will be the subject of a public consultation early next year. So now we will have a chance to input into that debate and into that whole discussion at that time. Now, some local news. The Lusk Scout Den is currently undergoing a transformation out there by none other than the Scouts themselves. They're all getting stuck in. After a long wait, the Lusk Scouts became eligible to receive a grant from the Rural Leader Scheme in order to renovate and repair their den. And according to the local Scout leader there, one of the leaders, Owen Quinn, he said the den hasn't been touched since 1998, so that's 15 years ago, so it's probably in need of a lick of paint. Under Quinn's supervision, up to 20 scouts are helping with the renovations. This includes repainting the walls and the ceilings. They'll also be painting over the original mural they had there and replacing it with a brand new one, which will be of a compass. Not only that, they'll improve the appearance of the den, but is also a way of getting all the local members involved there and improving their own surroundings. The grant, Quinn said, will fund much needed radiators and energy efficient lighting as well, so they'll be all nice and snug and warm there for the winter when everything gets underway. Greatly needed for those winter months indeed. And during the weekday evenings, the Beavers and the Scouts use the den. And another leader, Philip Hughes, he went on to say that they were hoping to get a new sign for the den as well, as there's currently no sign on the outside of the den, and they're hoping that the grant will cover the costs of that as well. Now, I was wondering, is that an opportunity for some local business maybe here on the north side of the city? Maybe somebody would dip their hand in their pocket and give the Scouts a few bob to pay for the sign, and they could use all the money they got from the grant on the inside of it. So anyone wants to do that, I'm sure the Lusk Scouts would be very happy to hear from you. Now, a sadder story also came about this week as well. The family of a young man was left devastated after he received brain injuries after suffering three heart attacks while on holiday in Crete. And they're asking their fellow Northsiders to support them in their efforts to improve his condition. The young man, David Cahill, he's from Ballymun. He was just 21 when he flew to the sun-drenched Greek island for a dream getaway in 2008. But just 2 days into the holiday, he collapsed. And ever since that, he has not been well at all. His family at that time were contacted by officials from the island who told them the shattering news, and that David was also on a life support machine and had suffered the three major cardiac arrests. Doctors believe that they may have been sparked by a panic attack or an undiagnosed heart condition that he had. But obviously the family flew out there immediately to Crete to be with David. And David's mum, Kay, she recalls it was very stressful after finally getting to Crete. She was shocked and devastated to see David hooked up to so many machines. Now, they've been doing their best for him, you know, as they can do and as much as they can afford to do. They obviously want to keep working on David's condition, and they decided to get David home to Ireland first of all so they could do that. And when they got him back here, he was transferred to Blanchardstown Hospital, and he spent 9 months there before he was moved on to the National Rehabilitation Hospital over there in Dunleary. And it was there that David was diagnosed as being in a minimally conscious state with profound brain injuries and blindness. So it really was a difficult condition. He was transferred back to Blanchardstown Hospital, and he spent another year there in 2010. And basically, he's been in a nursing home since and gets 24/7 care there. But as you can imagine, his family are very much involved in his care, and they want to make life as comfortable for him as possible. They've spent already €18,000 adopting their house for David, and every weekend Kay and husband Peter, mum and dad to David, bring him back home to look after him. So they're trying to make life as good as they possibly can for him. Now, doctors still see great potential in David, and they hope to improve his situation. And one of the things that they say will improve his situation is intense physiotherapy, but unfortunately there's a significant cost of €30,000 per year for that to happen. So we're, I suppose, all challenged in these difficult times. Everybody's looking for a few bob, but if you want to help David's family, his friends would really appreciate that, and any donations would be welcome there to the AIB in Main Street, Finglas. Now, I have something here for you that is a little bit different. This is, it's a song that's been changed a little bit. You need to listen very, very careful to it, because all is not what it seems. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and this is The Week in Review. Now, they tell me that that song is by a guy called Daft Punk. And they tell me
One singular guy.
And they tell me that that's the song of the summer. But as you can hear there, Falcher wrote Sabrina.
How are you?
I'm very good. You might know a little bit more about that than me.
Well, Daft Punk is actually two robot-headed individuals. They have their little masks on.
Little masks, wow. Yeah.
Cool. Not quite rubber banded-esque, but they have little masks. It must be in vogue to be kind of in disguise now as an artist.
Probably is. Maybe you don't have to reveal your true self.
Well, it kind of makes kind of imagine everyday daily movement around much easier. A couple of times I've seen, I was Justin Timberlake went to a Comic-Con or some concert or something with a dead mouse mask on, which was the big huge mouse, and nobody realised it was him. So maybe there's benefits to just kind of being like a masked vigilante. I don't know.
tell me about these songs. Where did you come across these first, or where did this idea come from?
I assume at first it popped up on my Facebook feed. It's the Lurgan Gaeltacht that put these ideas together, and seemingly they've been doing it. This isn't their first year doing it, but this is the first year where it became really explosive.
Right.
And it's just grown legs, and everybody's around with it. I mean, since the start of the summer, I'd say probably once every 2 or 3 days, a friend on my Facebook feed has shared this independently of everything else.
Of everybody else, yeah.
And it's always a different video. And they have heaps of these. I mean, they have Daft Punk. They did Call Me Maybe. They did the Cup song, which apparently is from Pitch Perfect. I'm not too familiar with the Cup song.
Okay.
They did Avicii.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I feel so old sometimes. So young, but so old. And they did like a heap of these songs. And they're absolutely fantastic. And the production production quality, as you heard there,
excellent.
It's out of this world.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fantastic idea in order to kind of revitalize an interest into the Irish language. And I think it might actually give a little bit of a kick maybe to some of our educational experts out there in the world, maybe to revitalize some of our curriculum.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned earlier on in the show, how, you know, we spend 14 years going through school. We have Irish is a compulsory core subject to our curriculum. We come out and realistically, all I can say is on Wilk had a gum, Dolgadi and letters.
Yeah.
And I can just about say that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's embedded into the back of our head. There is a handful of kind of stock phrases that we have, but realistically, we can't actually, don't get me wrong, there are, you know, great Gael goers out there and all the rest of it. But I think the vast, vast majority of people, we don't have the language. We have a better grasp of French and German and Spanish than we do of our own native language.
Is that because we have to learn it? You know the way you have options when you're going to school? You can pick French or you can pick German or whatever it might be. But we're forced to learn Irish. Would you think, is that part of the reason why we don't learn it?
Well, we're also forced to learn maths. I know you don't seem to have of course there are you know, there are major problems there with the maths curriculum as well. But in terms of, I think, being forced to learn Irish, I don't think it's the forced aspect of it that's the problem. I think it's the way it's taught, and I think it's the things we have to learn. I mean, I remember in doing my Leaving Cert, and I did ordinary level Irish. I mean, I did more or less everything else higher level, but I couldn't grasp Irish.
Yeah.
My mother is a fluent Irish speaker, and I couldn't grasp it. And I remember sitting down having to read this story, this piece of prose, and it was about a gambler, and it was so outdated, it was archaic, it was just it was a story that absolutely nobody in the room could relate to.
I think that's a very interesting thing, because I think making it relevant and making it modern, if you like, without diluting the language or anything. And I was looking up some information on Coláiste de Lurgan, and they talk about learning Gaeilge, how to do it, and they have general advice, and it's sort of just five key things, and I just wonder what you think. They say live the language, spend the time at it, get motivated about it and stay motivated about it, most of all relax and enjoy yourself, and don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Well, precisely. I think we get very, very hung up on having the perfect diction as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the school that I went to at home was a community college, but there was a sister school on the grounds of the school as well, which was the Gael Coláiste. And there was a lot of Gael goers in my classes. We had mixed classes. And while we spoke English to them all the time and they spoke English to us, it was very interesting to hear them sometimes speaking Irish, because despite the fact that, you know, they lived and breathed the language, there was words that they had to make up in order to, they had to take, you know, one word and another word to make a modern word.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was, the language is trying to evolve, I think, at the moment. But I think the tips there for, you know, immersing yourself in the language,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't have to take a drastic measure of moving to the Aran Islands.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are like several meetup groups that are like Gaeilge Circle, Corners, circles, speaking circles.
Yeah.
So something like that might be a good idea in order for people to try and learn it. I mean, for me, I'm probably left with a bit of a sour taste in my mouth after going through 14 years of school and not being able to speak it. Probably at some stage, I'd love to go back and kind of give it another shot.
And learn it because you want to as well, I think, and give it another go. I think, I'm thinking of Bernard Dunn and the work he's done with Irish recently. I don't know if you know the boxer Bernard Dunn.
You're not
aware of that. Yeah, he has taken up the whole mantle of just promoting a couple of focal and introducing it into everyday language, that rather than just say Fáilte rather than how you doing or slán maybe rather than, you know, see you later or whatever. And he's just introducing small phrases, and he's become an ambassador. I'm not sure how official an ambassador he is. I'll have to check that out. But it's just something he started to do. One of the things, many things he's done since he's given up his boxing career.
I think it's actually a lovely idea. And I've kind of in everyday life as well, I come across people that will just greet me with, you know, Fáilte or Díaguith or whatever. And as soon as somebody says something to me in Irish, I freeze and I respond in English.
Yeah.
I can't seem to just put the two things together and respond in Irish. And then afterwards I'm kicking myself going, why didn't I say it back in Irish?
And I was thinking, listening to the song there as well, the Daft Punk, the two guys, not the one guy with the robot heads and all that, now that I know that. But I was thinking there when I was listening to them that unless we'd heard that song in English or some of the other ones that they've translated into Irish, we wouldn't have a clue what they were saying. And actually, when we were listening to that, you said to me, they could be putting any message out there and we wouldn't certainly you and I wouldn't understand it.
It could be subliminal, who knows. Yeah. But I mean, let's hope that the administrators down there in Lurgan have kind of taken the route of doing the translation appropriately.
Right. We don't even know if they got it right.
We don't. Yeah. And I imagine as well that in order to fit these lyrics back into the music, like Irish is kind of a bit of a convoluted long language.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's probably times where it might be a bit different. It could be completely different. But who knows? I mean, it sounds fantastic.
It does. I'm wondering as well, do they have, I suppose it's probably, this is targeted at making it relevant to the people who go to the Gaeltacht College. But I'm just wondering, wouldn't it be great to do some of the classic songs from over the years? Maybe some Beatles songs or
Rolling Stones
or whatever it might be. Just some of the classic songs over the years as well to translate them off Gaeilge.
I'll tell you one thing, they can make a fortune out of it if they put together an album of it.
I wonder, I was thinking about that as well, and I was wondering if there are any copyright issues or anything like that that maybe they'd have to overcome as well.
Do you know, it's actually a fair question. I mean, it you know, it's probably something that they had to think about, royalties and all that, particularly with current songs.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, there could be a bit of a minefield there, but let's assume they managed to skirt those issues nicely.
Hopefully they have. And what would happen, I wonder, in this day and age where, you know, in years gone by, you used to have to go and buy the CD or buy the vinyl in the shop, but most of it's download now and done based on the charts are based on downloads. Mm. I wonder if one of those charted, how would that work out?
I imagine if they were to be, you see, I don't know if these are on kind of some kind of general release, but I mean, if you look at the YouTube hits, if you could turn YouTube hits into money, we'd all be laughing.
They'd be a small fortune made.
But it's an interesting idea, the whole thing of the download charts, because I don't own a CD.
Yeah.
Like, I don't own a single CD. Now, I have a few CDs that have been kind of, you know, given to me through the station, you know, of new bands and all that, but I don't own, like, any CDs. All my music is digital, and that's the way forward for it. So yeah. I think that's something that we have to embrace.
It is indeed. Well, Sabrina, thanks for taking the time to come
Absolutely.
In and talk to me today.
Anytime.
And for chatting about the Coláiste de Lurgan and the good work that I suppose they're doing down there in the Gaeltacht, embracing Irish and passing it on to the next generation. Hopefully they'll have a better look than you and I had when we went through the system. And also thanks for educating me in relation to Daft Punk as well.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks a million. Okay, I'm going to move on now. And we were talking there about words and the meaning of words. And you know the way every so often new words are added to the dictionary. I think they do it about twice a year. And that's the Oxford English Dictionary, that is. And there are a number of words just released this week. One of them is the twerking word that there was a lot about this particular week. But another ones that I would have thought were already in the dictionary, flash mob, which is, you know, where people sort of pop up in very unusual places and do a dance or do some sort of a performance, maybe in a railway station or something like that. That's just gone in. Fracking. A lot of controversy about that in the UK and here at home in Ireland as well. That's some new method of getting energy out of the ground. So fracking is a good one. Hand pass, the GAA, hand passing the ball. That's gone into the Oxford English Dictionary now as well. And one here that's both an adjective and an adverb now is head to toe. And that's hyphenated. H-E-A-D hyphen T-O hyphen T-O-E. So I would have thought some of these were in already. A great Dublin one has gone in as well. Heart scalded. You have me heart scalded, son. What are you at there at all? Heart scalded is gone in as well, believe it or not. As I said, twerking is in there with Miley Cyrus and the award ceremony. We won't go into too much detail on that. It's been a family programme. Jolly hockey sticks. The sort of, I suppose, without being too disrespectful, maybe a posh way of sort of making a, I don't know, it's in as an adjective, it's in as a noun. Live blog. Reflecting, I suppose, the new way that we were living now, people blogging, but a live blog has gone in as well. And smackhead is also in the dictionary from this week as well. So some of those words are around a long time, and I'm surprised that they weren't in there before this. So I don't know. I suppose they have to reflect how our lives are changing and how the world is changing and all of that. So if you're interested, I suppose you could read the dictionary and have a look at some of those words. Just thought that would be an interesting thing to look at. Moving on now to a little more serious of a subject. Many immigrant candidates who contested the last local elections back in 2009 have said they will not be putting their names forward now in 2014. One of the reasons a number of them have given is that there is a lack of full support from their political parties the first time they contested, and some former candidates cited personal reasons for opting out of the race, while others still mentioned a growing level of racism and xenophobia as discouraging them from running. And we talked about racism last week with Donal, our regular contributor here on the Week in Review, and all the difficulties that there are in that area. But those people whose names will be missing from the ballot in next year's local election include high-profile immigrants such as Eidola Ogunisia, and apologies if I've pronounced your name wrong. He's a Fine Gael candidate. He's the current equality officer as well for the Dublin West constituency. Tala-based Green Party candidate as well, Tendai Madondo. And independents Patrick Mafoso and Rashid Butt as well. It's understood that up until last month, Fine Gael was persuading Ogunisia to run in the Castleknock or Mulhuddard ward, but he has refused. It's also believed that he wants the government and his Fine Gael party to educate new voters on active citizenship and political participation to make it easier for them to elect new Irish candidates as well. And a local Fine Gael source quoted Ogunisia as saying the new Irish electorate needs to know that it is a call to duty and honour for anyone to be nominated by a party to stand for election, and that the person is not running for his own selfish interest. The other candidates I mentioned there, Tendai Madonono, she said she wants to work more broadly than focusing on local issues, and she feels that she can better influence more broadly. And following the last election, she has been advising other local election hopefuls from all backgrounds, as well as future political prospects in her home country of Zimbabwe. And Rashid Butt, he's in Mullingar. He's not standing, he says, due to personal reasons, but those personal reasons are compounded by the difficulty he sees in getting immigrants to campaign in a more hostile environment caused by racism and xenophobia. And in Dublin, Patrick Mafoso, who was subjected to racial abuse during his 2009 campaign, and a man actually was jailed for that since that crime, he's also not contesting, saying that he doesn't believe Irish people are ready for change. I suppose a bit of a shame that we're not ready for change just yet. And I suppose when you think about it, shouldn't our public representatives be representative of the public that they represent, so to speak? Okay, I'm going to play a little bit more music for you now, and this is actually by a guy called Austin Healy, and the song is called Hear the Mermaid Sing. And Austin Healy, he works down the road there in Beaumont. He's a surgeon, but he's also a very talented singer, as you'll hear now.
Text 087 69 44 500
90.3 Near FM.
Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and you're listening to The Week in Review. I'm joined now by Mary Hickey, who's the principal of Kailash Na Dúnadh. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Declan. How are you?
I'm very good. Mary, I presume at this time of the year, yourself and your team are getting ready for the new term and getting all organised for that. I'm just wondering, do you want to tell me what courses you have available and what where you have places available for people?
Okay. First of all, I'm delighted to talk to you. We're back, we're open, we're ready for business. And we have many, many places available on programmes. You know, contrary to popular belief, I've been talking to some students myself in the last week, and they're saying things, oh, all the places are gone. If you spoke to us in August, we would have some of our courses closed. Yes, all the places were gone, but many of those students have since got other places, or have their CAO options have become available to them.
Right.
So we are open for business right across a variety of courses.
Excellent.
And I think a lot of our courses would tend to be access courses.
Okay.
You know, things like portfolio preparation.
Yep.
It's a very good course, feeds into getting a portfolio together, getting over the Leaving Cert requirements for the FETEC qualification to study a variety of design programmes in colleges, in any of the colleges in Dublin or around the country. We also have our own specific design programmes like interior design, graphic design, all of those.
And
we also have a variety of programmes available in the media area, the very broad media area, as in media and communications, which is a 3-year programme. And now, this year, we're launching a nighttime degree as an add-on for students on that programme. So we envisage the students that will start in first year will be with us permanent students for 3 years and then part-time 3 years to get a level 8 degree.
Excellent. I think it's a very important point that you make there, Mary, is that you know, people have got other options, and as you say, maybe their CAO has they've got what they want there, and that you, even though you've told people in August that you're full, there's plenty of room now for people to get in touch and get involved in those areas you're talking about. Yeah,
and I mean, Declan, the whole thing will be in a state of flux for the next 2 weeks. Really,
right.
We are interviewing. You can apply online. It doesn't cost you anything. We will call you in, have a chat with you. You make no commitment. I mean, just on the broad media area, I go back to areas like theatre studies is a very good one. It's very good for self-development as well and for bringing on confidence
absolutely.
In students.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing that's emerging, I don't know, but I mean, I know now that students in the Dublin area are finding really difficult to get accommodation. And the building area seems to be slowly coming back.
Great.
I know people have deserted things like renewable energy and architectural technology, but the reality of it is any student who starts studying in that area now, it will be 4 years before they're standing with a degree going into the workplace. And there will be plenty of jobs in that area in 4 years' time.
In that time.
Because we're already getting shortages in the area.
Yeah, and it's amazing how they change around with the economy, I suppose, and with different trends and so on. Tell me, Mary, who can apply? I mean, at what point do you have to be along your educational path to actually get involved?
Everybody can apply, and there are different programs and different categories applications. I suppose we would have about 1,600 students in total. Many of those will be your Leaving Cert, people who completed the Leaving Cert in the last year or two or three. And they would be what we generally refer to as post-Leaving Certs.
Yes.
And that's fine. That they're one category of students. We also have adults or second chance education, which is VITAS, Vocational Training Opportunity Scheme. We are also recruiting into those programs. We've computer-based programs. We've a community development program. We have business and languages programs. We have a horticulture program there. We have a general education program. We have programs in healthcare. Very interesting area because you can do the level 5 qualification and it's an area that's crying out for qualified people. Similarly, people who do not qualify for vocational training, but who may be unemployed, particularly if they never finished second level education, they can apply to us under a scheme called BPEI, which is Back to Education Initiative. We offer a program in various areas. I'll go through them in a minute.
Okay.
But they're about 15 hours a week.
Right.
They can keep all their welfare benefits.
Great, great.
And it's 15 hours a week, and they can use it as access onto another program, or indeed in something like the healthcare and the childcare. They can, in the healthcare area, they can do it over 2 years and they're qualified, or in the childcare area, they can do a level 5 over 1 year. But it's particularly aimed at maybe those who didn't finish a second level education when they were younger,
right.
Or maybe those who. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who started apprenticeships, say, in 08, 09,
and maybe
10,
and
they didn't work out and the economy collapsed.
Yes.
They may feel very, they wouldn't be able maybe for a generic PLC course with maths and that, but it doesn't mean they can't do a degree in science.
Okay.
We can use these programs for access into the area of further study in science education.
Excellent.
In computers. In design, and we can also pick up any basic education deficits with general education
as well.
And we have an adult literacy service as well that operate on a one-to-one and discreetly.
And you mentioned, Mary, as well, there's some part-time courses as well, that it's not just all full-time.
No. Yeah. I suppose the Back to Education Initiative is 15 hours a week, which would be part-time.
Part-time,
But we also have an evening school, and we have a day school, which are self-financing part-time programs. And I suppose when the economy was good, many of those programs were really hobby-type programs.
Yeah, sure.
But now they're not, to be honest with
they're,
you.
They're focused
they're
on
very much
on
focused
work.
On yeah. work. Well, we still have the hobby ones. We still have flower arranging. We still have Irish. We still have people, you know, that want to do them for our local history. And, you know, people are generally interested in these areas and whatever.
Yeah.
But we also have people coming back in the evening to do healthcare, childcare, special needs, graphic design, a whole host of career-focused areas, spreadsheets, databases, things that will help them in their employment.
Excellent, yeah. So a whole range of courses to suit everybody there, no matter at what point, as
Absolutely.
I said, you're along the career or your educational path.
Yeah.
And Mary, tell me again, is there a critical date by which people need to get involved and get in touch?
Well, the reality of it is, the quicker you get in touch with us, the quicker we'll get back to you and the quicker we'll organise
sure.
A chat and whatever. Because the reality is, for the post-leaving cert courses, probably, you cannot kind of start the course and have people come in and out of class.
Yeah.
You may survive like that for a week,
yeah.
but not any longer, because it's unfair for the rest of the participants.
Of course, yeah.
So the critical date, really, I would say, from my point of view in post-leaving cert, is the 30th of September. But in a lot of the other adult courses that we'll be recruiting right up to now, to the end of October.
End of October. Great.
But my advice to people is, get on the website, ring up the college, fill in an application form. Doesn't cost. We will get back to you. If you don't, if what we have doesn't suit you, we will at least be able to tell you where there are places within other, I was going to say City of Dublin, VEC colleges, but of course, it's no longer the City of Dublin VEC. It's the Education and Training Board.
Absolutely.
But there are our sister colleges all around the north side.
And
we will know where the places are.
Yeah. And Mary, just one thing before I let you go. I mean, I grew up down the road from the station here. You know where we are. And
yes.
I always thought, now it wasn't today or yesterday I grew up down the road either, but I always thought of Coláiste na Dubhlaigh like just as the one building in Coolock here. But
yes.
I when I was if you like swatting up before I started to talk to you today, doing a bit of revision if you like, I
yeah.
see that you have four campuses now. You're in Raheny, Kilbarrick and Malahide
yeah.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah, there is the building you obviously went to secondary school in, which was Coláiste na Dubhlaigh. And in the mid 2000s it split into two. At
right.
the back of the big building next to Northside is a secondary school.
Okay.
We're the Further Education. I'm the principal of the Further Education College.
Right.
Then about 10 years ago, we got the Old Rosary College in Raheny or Edenmore.
Oh yeah.
And we have the design department down there, and some of our general education.
Right.
Then when Greendale closed,
right.
we got Greendale, and we have our business and theatre studies and sport and hairdressing. And
right.
I'm very anxious here because I don't leave out people in there. We have always run an outdoor education programme, and for the water-based activities, we use Malahide Yacht Club.
Ah, right.
And then in the last year, St John of God's in Kilmore became available, and the youth reach section is in half of it, and the other half we're using for upskilling adults under Back to Education Initiative and Labour Activation Programmes.
Excellent. So the different campuses are used for different parts, different activities and
different
courses.
Activities. Yeah. And you might find yourself 3 days in one and a day and two in the other, or, you know, you might. See, the other thing is looking at all kind of programmes now, it's really important that they contain a large placement element of at least a day that gets you into a workplace where you can network
yeah.
and make connections to key up a job for yourself
sure.
Subsequently.
Excellent. Mary, I think that probably covers it. You've done a great job there on making sure you left nobody out and making sure that you covered off all the various courses and opportunities there are for people. So, as you say, the main thing is probably the best way is, as you say, go onto the website, give you a ring, get in touch some way or other, and you will get back to people. And the sooner they do it, the better is the advice, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks a million for talking to me today on Near FM.
Sure.
Thank you. That's Mary Hickey there, the principal of Coláiste na Dúlaigh, and certainly lots of opportunity there for further education. And as your mammy or your granny might say, sure, it's no load to carry. Okay, some international stories now. Tens of thousands of people gathered in the US Capitol on Saturday last to mark the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. That was the march originally held on August 28, 1963. And people filled the National Mall as speakers reflected on the progress in achieving the goals outlined by the event's most famous speaker on that day, Martin Luther King Jr., who delivered on that particular day the famous I Have a Dream speech from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Now, his son, who's Martin Luther King III, he said that this is not the time for nostalgic commemoration at the event. He said, nor is it the time for self-congratulatory celebration. The task is not done, he went on to say. The journey is not complete. We can and we must do more. And paramount to Martin Luther King Jr., his father's fervent dream was a commitment that African Americans gain full economic opportunity and not be confined to basic mobility from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. Today in the US, 12% of unemployment rates is the unemployment rate in the African American community, and 38% of African American children in the US are living below the level of poverty. They're amazing statistics. I suppose when you think that an African American has become president of the US, you think that things have moved on a little bit further than that. And he finished up, Martin Luther King's son finished up by saying that everybody knows that the dream is far from being realised. That's the I Have a Dream speech that his father delivered back on August 28, 1963. Now, another international story. I think it's just a disappointing story. The group Doctors Without Borders has announced that dangerous conditions are forcing it to cease operations in Somalia after 22 years. In a statement, the group cited extreme attacks on our staff and an environment that condones the killing, assaulting and abducting of humanitarian aid workers has forced them to pull out of Somalia, and the move will mean that the loss of healthcare services there for hundreds of thousands of people. And as I say, what a shame that is. It's a difficult one. Now, have you ever asked yourself the question, can we trust our news? I ask myself that question regularly. In the world of news, what sources can we trust? How have digital advances and the expansion of social media, which we talked about a little bit earlier on, and we'll be talking about later as well, the expansion of social media, how has that impact on our trust of journalism? Now, to help us answer the question, there are leading media figures from the US, the UK and Ireland. They're going to talk about all these issues and tackle these issues and other questions in a one-day symposium in DCU on the 16th of September. And that'll be one to see what reports come out of that one. We'll watch and get an update after that. If you are interested in attending that, mediaconferencedcu.com is the website. mediaconferencedcu.com, or you can contact Dr. Kevin Rafter, kevin.rafter@dcu.ie. He has more details on that one as well. Okay, I think we'll take a little bit more music now. And here's an interesting lady. First saw this lady on the Late Late Show probably 6 or 8 months ago now. She calls herself Soak, and this particular song is called Sea Creatures. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and you're listening to The Week in Review. This is Near FM on 90.3. Now, that song was by a lady called Soak. Isn't it a very interesting, very gentle sort of a song? It's called Sea Creatures. And as I said, I first saw her on the Late Late Show. She's a lady from Derry, very talented. Okay, now, social media. We've mentioned it a couple of times on the programme already today, and it's part of our everyday lives now. And in years to come, we'll probably look back with some disbelief, I suppose, at the early days of social networking, in the same way that we now find it difficult to believe that, if you remember not that long ago, we could smoke in the cinema. We could smoke on the buses. You could smoke anywhere inside, really. Now we can't do all of that. And we'll probably say things like, remember the days when you could post up anything on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever before they eventually got around to removing it. So it's all very new, I suppose, and finding our feet. We think of these things being with us for a long, long time, but they're not actually with us that long at all. They're just very prolific and, I suppose, impacting on every piece of our life. And no doubt social networking has changed our lives forever, and make no mistake about it at all, it's definitely here to stay. It can be too, if it's used properly, it can be a highly effective and efficient way of communicating with your friends and with your family. And I think especially for people who are living away from home, people who have to maybe emigrate or people who have to go away for periods of time to work to support their family, it's a great way to keep in touch and to find out how people are getting on and what's happening in their lives. It also presents businesses too with a valuable marketing tool that costs them little or nothing really to use. And most companies, of course, worth their salt at this stage have either Facebook or Twitter or both these days. And they don't. Those that don't are probably losing out too on a very effective means, and indeed a cost-effective means, by which to reach potential customers. But like everything in life, a nasty minority is ruining social networking for the majority of the responsible users and responsible businesses that are out there. And unfortunately, it has become a little bit of a breeding ground for bullies, for cowards, racists as well. And as a result of this, and as a result of the, I suppose, abuse and the bullying that's happening, an increasing number of celebrities are actually closing their Twitter accounts, some high-profile ones as well, due to the relentless abuse from internet trolls. Now, if you don't know what an internet troll is, an internet troll basically is someone who can post something up on Facebook or Twitter anonymously and you don't know who they are, and they can basically say anything they want about you with recourse to nobody. Usually, Facebook or Twitter will take down those things, but it doesn't happen probably quick enough or as quick enough as people would like it to. So rather than providing a means of connectivity directly with their fans for people who are celebrity and people who are famous, Twitter has made them an easy target for vindictive individuals who often hide behind that cloak of anonymity. To be fair, as I said, the likes of Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, once these things are reported to them or once they see them themselves, they do take them down, and they do take these things very, very seriously, to be fair to those companies. As was the case with the poor teenage girl, if you remember recently, there was some pictures posted up of her doing something up at the recent Eminem gig up in Slane. Graphic images were put up there, but they were removed quite quickly, but not before millions and millions of people had seen them all around the world. So it just shows you the power of something like this as well. Digital media, because it's relatively new, even its operators don't really seem to know how to prevent this and find ways. But I'm sure technology can do it, but it's just a matter of us developing the technology to actually prevent the abuse of people using it in a nasty way and ruining it for the majority of us. And the reality is that no print edition newspaper or a printed magazine or anything like that would have allowed any of that type of photograph to be published in an uncensored form. So for all the talk of new media being the way forward, social networking has a lot to learn about putting the same safeguards in place as traditional old-fashioned print newspapers and magazines. And I suppose for now, particularly parents need to have a serious look at what their teenagers are doing with this. In lots of cases, teenagers and younger people are using this and the parents are not. The parents don't even understand a lot of it in many cases. And the advice to people is that you should demand access to their social networking accounts, have a look at what they're doing. And there'll be a big row about it, of course, but it will be worth it to see what's going on. And I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to have a conversation about this maybe at another time. Have you got a Facebook account? Have you got a Twitter account? Maybe a blog as well? We mentioned blogging. Live blogging has been one of those new words that went into the dictionary this week. And I'm sure, as I said, this is a conversation that we'll take up again. And if you'd like to get involved in discussing social media and what might happen with social media into the future and how we can put more measures in there to prevent the abuse of people and indeed the abuse of the media itself, you can text me 087 69 44 500 087 69 44 500 or email weekinreview@near.ie, week in review, all one word, all lowercase, weekinreview@near.ie. Now, another story that I came across a a question it asked. Are there too many charities in Ireland? And sometimes when you're out and about, you see lots of people looking for your few bob. And you might say, my goodness, there's an awful lot of those. Everybody's always looking for something. And we often hear the argument that there are too many charities in Ireland. But is there any truth in it? Well, some recent research shows that there's not a lot of truth in it. In fact, in Wales, there are 3 charities for every 1,000 people. In Norway, there are 16 charities for every 1,000 people. In Scotland, there are 4.3 charities for every 1,000 people. And here in Ireland, there are only 1.8 charities for every 1,000 people. So lots more room here in Ireland for more charities. Well, that's it for another week, for the week in review. We've come to the end of another programme. I'll be back at the same time next week. And don't forget, if you have an article or an item you'd like me to discuss, or you'd like me to feature, or maybe you'd like to come and chat to me about it, you can contact me on weekinreview@near.ie. That's weekinreview@near.ie. So for now, for me, Declan Ralph, well, I'll see you very, very soon on the radio.